Hello and welcome back to More Than a Hemline. I am here with none other than, let's see if I can do it this time, Liza Hakakian. I did it! I did it! Nailed it. Nailed the name change. All right, guys. Last time we had a short and sweet episode and we got such amazing feedback. You love the little dose of inspiration. You love hearing Liza and I schmooze casually. I love it too. We're going to get down to business, keep this another short and sweet 15-minute episode or less. Last time we left off, briefly touching on the concept of modesty and humility and where that leads into the concept of modesty in how we speak and modesty and how we act. Because usually people think of modesty when it just pertains to clothing, but it's so much more than that. So we are going to pick up where we left off and dive into the topic, starting with modesty versus humility. Liza, what are your thoughts here?
It's just taking me back to like my pre like even awareness of modesty and how it was like this interpretation of like frumpy and like hiding yourself and almost like being ashamed of like what you had to, you know, offer as a woman. And that was just like, I think as a teenager, that's really how I felt about it. Really like also not being a part of any religious community where it was so prominent. Like when I saw it, I was just like, oh, like this is just another, you know, chauvinistic, you know, design to prevent women from like being them best, their best selves. And it's just crazy to think like how much that relationship has evolved. And I think it's true. I think that like modesty, that word is interpreted like that. And that's why you and I and many people are like not into it. But it's really meant to mean something so much greater, which is humility. And if you look up the like the definition of humility or you look up the definition of modesty, they like interchange words. So humility will be defined by using the word modesty and vice versa. And it makes so much sense. It's like the idea of being aware of yourself, knowing what you have to offer to the world in all ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, but like not feeling the need to make everybody else aware of that. And it's like another level of confidence rather than a level of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like shame.
As you were speaking, I had to pull up the definition of humility because I honestly really struggle with it. I really struggle to understand it and how to practice it. And the definition that Google gives me, listen to this. It's a noun that is a modest or low view of one's own importance. That's humbleness. I don't like that definition at all.
I don't think that's accurate at all.
I'm going to take issue with the Oxford English Dictionary, because I don't like that at all. And a synonym is modesty. So let's go there. Let's see what that is. All right. Oxford Dictionary is serving me modesty as a noun, the quality of state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities. This is so far off. I am freaking out. I'm getting heated.
I see the redness coming to your face.
And I'm heated.
No, I mean, that really is, I think, like the worldwide interpretation of both words.
What do we do, Liza?
I don't know. I think probably you and I both have a different definition of humility because of like biblical and Torah study. That's like where I pull in my definition. There's, you know, the story of the character of Moses, and it's explaining that like he was obviously, you know, well aware of his power and his even like beauty, but even so he was still able to like not repress, but like, what's the word that I'm looking for? It keeps escaping me.
It's not like mitigate, but I feel like the definition that I have in my mind is like humility is not an absence of confidence in oneself or right. An absence of self-worth. It's recognizing that you are what you are and like you should praise yourself for all that you have, while at the same time having that awareness that when you are in certain situations, you may not be the best person for the job, and to recognize that. And right. to recognize that other people may be better than you or have more than you and be better for.
Right. And I think even beyond that, even if it's not that, like, I'm sure there is somebody out there that's like amazing at a lot of things, but it's the recognition that no matter how hard you work, there's always like also a power above you that's given that to you, whether you believe in a God or the universe, what fate, whatever it may be. It's like not attributing everything to yourself and realizing that there's an element of luck or blessing or whatever you want to call it that comes into the picture that allows you to take a step back and say, like, I'm not going to be like cocky or arrogant about this. I'm going to be grateful. Yeah. And it's that balance of like gratitude and confidence that I think blend together beautifully to create this concept of humility. And when we say modesty, we're really like trying to achieve that. We're trying to achieve that humility in what we wear and how we speak and how we act.
Can we take this into some practical examples? Because I would love, I think you're someone who really embodies humility. I really noticed it in just, you know, our interaction.
That's the thing anyone ever said to me.
Seriously, like when we're at events together or in group settings and people come up and compliment like all the work that we do for the Reflective, you have such humility and graciousness in your response. And I'm like, I always try to memorize what you say because I want to like say that too. And I can never get it. I'm always like.
I think it's just expressed differently. Like, I think you're like, oh my God, I can't handle the compliment. You know what I mean? Like, no, who, me? And I'm like, yeah, you.
Dude, that's I think why I struggle with humility so much is like and this is like a whole other topic on receiving, but I have such a hard time taking compliments.
It's very fair. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. But I think what helps me, like even in a moment when it comes to the Reflective, like whenever somebody, you know, says something about what we do and how they appreciate it or how it's changed them, I attribute it to you. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, like Arielle has done so much to get us to this point. Oh my God. So it allows me to bring in humility of like, obviously I play a part in this, but like, I'm just like rooting for you. I'm like, yeah, she's killing it, you know? So I think that's what really helps. But I think when you get into like practical examples of how to achieve or practice humility when it comes to like, not just your clothing, because we're basically saying like by dressing modesty in a way, you're achieving that, but you have to bring that into your thoughts, first of all. And then your actions. And I think starting from the front end of it with my actions, like something that dressing more modestly helped me achieve. So like putting on that physical garment that represented that humility was also being like more thoughtful in how much I felt like I needed to speak. And I've heard a lot of women say this. And in the beginning, it was a struggle because there was no balance. Like all of a sudden I felt like not worthy of saying anything and like lacked a ton of confidence. Felt, you know, I felt like my physical body was representative of so much of my beauty and my charm. And if I didn't have that, then like, why should I speak? So that was a very negative extreme. But then as I like regained my confidence, it molded into this just like presence of, you know, I can listen and I can hear. And then before I speak, especially if it's like anything opinion-based, I ask myself like, why do I feel like I need to share this opinion right now? Like, do I actually think this is going to either impact somebody positively in the room or protect, you know, somebody else who might be feeling uncomfortable, whatever it is. And if there's like a value to bringing up, then I will. But if it's just because I want to like, and even if, okay, if it's like, oh, I want to be a part of the conversation, that's fine. That's fair. Like I shouldn't like sit there not talking, but if it's like to prove a point or to make myself sound smart, which like I definitely have those moments, or because I'm feeling insecure, so like I want them to know that I know what they're saying and I feel this about it, like that's when I'm like, okay, I don't actually need to talk right now, and I can just continue to absorb, and maybe that actually will allow me to like mold and shape my opinion even more because it's a new perspective that I wouldn't have otherwise had exposure to. Like, you know that feeling when someone's talking and you're already so focused on like how you want to respond and how good your answer is going to be, and I'm like, okay, I don't actually need to do that right now. Like, I can let it go. And that's been huge. And I feel like that's where so far and I guess it's like between thought, speech, and action that's really in my thoughts and my speech so far, that that's been like refined.
I love that. I sometimes catch myself doing that where I'll be in a conversation and I'm not even listening to the person. I'm like, I get so caught up on one point that I'm derailed in my own thoughts of how I'm going to respond. And that is like, yeah.
It's like when you're younger and you know when you like get in a fight with someone and you like didn't respond well. So then you go home and you like practice in the mirror how you would have responded in that heated moment. Like that's what I feel like sometimes. And I'm like, okay, this is my inner child, like, and my ego, and I just need to put it away. And I remember asking like a mentor of mine as I started to change the way I dress. I said, I can feel that like the way I dress is not aligned with my insides. Like I feel like I'm putting on an act and it's just for people to like think that I'm this way. But I always hated those stories of like, you know, very quote unquote pious people who then I heard do very disturbing things that like were totally immoral. And I never wanted to represent that. That was like my number one fears. Like I want to actually be who I'm presenting to the world. And what she said was that if this is something that like I was connected to already and making an effort, and there's nothing wrong with that, because whatever you do physically is going to end up impacting you internally. And there's something about like, I don't know, I'll be like sitting and looking down, let's say on my lap, and I'll like see, I know it sounds crazy, but like the skirt that I'm wearing, and it'll be like a reminder, like, hey, your skirt is like to the floor because that's like who you are. And it helps me actually, like, it's like a physical reminder, like, okay, this is what you represent now. And that's what I think allowed me to refine myself in those other ways.
I love that you're tying in clothing, thoughts, speech, and action all together, because I think a lot of the time we say how modesty is more than clothing, which it is. We just spoke about it. Modesty is humility. It's how you speak. It's how you act. It's how you relate to other people. But there is this concept that you're hitting on, that what you wear does impact how you act. And that's a very valid point. And I think that's something that we could pick up on next time, is just really looking at more closely how the clothing that we wear shifts that for us. Because, you know, right, if you look at the royal family, they have very extreme dress codes. Like they always have to go out wearing, you know, certain, like, I think they have to wear stockings, pretty sure. And what? Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they have to wear stockings. And like they have certain, you know, things that they abide by as far as just dress code goes. And I'm sure is in place, A, for image reasons, obviously, but also because they're meant to act royal, right? Like they are meant to be this elevated figure in the United Kingdom. And part of that is acting the part. Like in addition to dress, they also have all of these different, you know, manners that they, you know, follow, and yeah, the list goes on. Maybe we can find some on Google and run through them and look at how that relates to modesty, because it definitely does.
It's so true.
As an aside, I looked at these two definitions, humility and modesty, and they give you a timeline of how popular the terms were over the course of the last 250 years. Obviously, in the 1800s, both modesty and humility were very much used, and over time, they've declined. And since 2019, both words have had a slight uptick.
So interesting.
Yeah. How about that?
That's crazy. I mean, we always talk about it, how like I've felt, you know, a shift in society on the whole. And I attribute it, you know, the spark being the Me Too movement and women like deciding to take ownership of their bodies in a new way. So instead of like free the nipple, it was like, it's my body and you don't get to look at it. I think that's like a huge part in how that started, but I'm noticing it with everyone. Just like a hint of it, like even if it's not your full-time, you know, dress code, let's call it, it's still this like effort to embody modesty and humility. And I don't think that was a value pre 2018, 2019, to the way that it is now.
Yeah. I wrote a whole research paper in college on postmodern feminism and how the Kardashians really embody that. And it is this concept of controlling the male gaze as far as like your body goes. They use it obviously in a different way, but we could explore the whole concept of postmodern feminism and modesty.
I wish I knew you in college. That would have been fun.
I was so interesting. I've had too many rebrands to count. Oh my gosh. Okay, wow. We have a lot of cliffhangers. We'll have many options to speak about next time. And if anyone has any particular requests of something that we said was interesting to you, we did, by the way, get a few emails last time.
Kidding.
Yeah, people do find this interesting, Liza. So if there is something that you heard that you would like to hear more about, or one of our cliffhangers piqued your interest, please write to me, Ariella, at the-reflective.com, and we will answer your questions and speak and expand on more topics in next week's episode.